Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. And we're live now so you can be a part of the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's do that right now. Call 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. We want to hear from you, so call now, 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel, and now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the church, the fact that it's made up of Jew and Gentile. Anyone who comes to know Christ personally, they are added to the Church of Jesus Christ. We're all fellow members, and there is this universal organism called the body of Christ. It's called the church in the New Testament. It's called the temple. We're the bride of Christ. Those are all of the names that the New Testament writers give to this group of called out believers. We've been called out from the world to be joined to Jesus Christ. And we have a wonderful mission here in this world. I think so many of us have really just been absorbed into this Western thinking. You know, it's the individual, it's all about us, it's all about me. And we forget that we actually belong to something that's bigger than ourselves. We belong to the body of Christ. And corporately, we have a mission here on planet Earth. Peter talks about that in his first letter, starting in chapter 2, verse 4. He writes this: "As you come to him, the living stone." So each individual comes to Christ, the living stone. He was rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones. So we were dead stones, and we have been given life, and now we're living stones. And we are being built into a spiritual house. There's this temple. You recall when Jesus said after his miracle at Cana, he said, "Destroy this temple, in 3 days I will rebuild it." Well, everybody was scratching their heads thinking, what is this Jesus talking about? And the writer went on to say that he was talking about his own body. So Jesus represented the true temple of God, the place where God dwelt. And now we have become this temple, the place where God dwells here on planet Earth. So we are the temple of God. We've been built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." He's describing the church of Jesus Christ, "that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So what do we do as the church? We declare the praises of God as evidence to us in Jesus Christ to the world at large. That's our mission. That's our purpose. And I'm here to tell you, that's quite a purpose.
It's a privilege.
There's nothing in this world that matches us. The fact that we have the opportunity, the privilege, to declare the praises of the one true God in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. And welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody, where you hear this truth every day, Monday through Friday. We want to hear from you now. 1-800-677-9377. It's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. Give us a call, friends. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Andrew in Fayetteville, North Carolina, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Andrew.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm so glad to hear you talk to you personally, you and Richard and the other Bob. It's amazing the message and the information and the truth that you give forth. I had a dialogue we were having in our church, and we were talking about Genesis. We studied in Genesis, and they talked about Abram and how Abram was blessed by Melchizedek, and he gave a tenth of the spoils to Melchizedek. And they said that was where God instituted the ideal of tithing. But then later on, it says in the 15th chapter, how Abram gave a sacrifice of heifers, female goats, and turtle doves and things like that, and they don't take that over. And then I was talking to our associate minister who's in, having a dialogue with him, and he's in seminary school, and we're talking about Gentiles were never under the law. That's what I told him. And then, so why are we going to put ourselves back under the law? And he said what happens, the law I mean, grace gives you power to do the law. And I've been looking at this and studying this for a period of time, and I think the main reason that these people try to mix law and grace like that together is so that they can get to that tithe, because it's not anyplace else. And I think they have to use mixing law and grace together in order to justify that. And I just was wanting to hear, you know, your opinion, because when you study the Word of God with all these verses that talk about, like Romans 10:4, like you always said, Christ is the end of the law, so there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Why would people continue to try to put other Christian people under the law unless it's to get to that? Now, I'm just trying to.
Well, Andrew, I think
I can understand and make sense.
Yeah, I think that's a big. I think that's a big part of it. The financing of churches, the financing of ministries. You know, it takes money to do ministry. Well, how does that money? How do we get that? And we're hoping that people are going to give, and that they're going to give generously, and that God's Spirit is going to move in their hearts to do so. But that's often not the case. And so people bring in all of these Old Testament passages and say, hey, God's requiring this. This is something that's an obligation to you. And you're right, it's a mixing of Old Covenant and New Covenant. But the fact of the matter, Andrew, we are New Covenant believers. We are called to give generously, to give freely, to give without obligation, to give as much as we determine between ourselves and the Lord. There is no amount, there's no set amount that God calls us to give as far as us being New Covenant believers today. Now, as you mentioned, many people go back to Abraham, but that's not where God instituted tithing. That's kind of ridiculous to think of it in those terms, because that's not the point. The point was that Abraham met somebody just out of the blue that he recognized immediately was far superior than himself. And so his only act of worship at that point in that situation was to give of what he had plundered in war. So he had gone to war. He had won the battle. He had won the victory. He took the spoils. He had those with him. And so when he met Melchizedek and recognized his superiority, he bowed his knee and he gave of the spoils. So the writer of Hebrews takes that and says, see, Abraham, the lesser, blessed someone that was the greater. And that's the point. Jesus is of that order of Melchizedek. And so even the Levites are inferior, and they should be bowing the knee and giving of their all to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole point of Melchizedek in the Bible. It's not about giving. It's not about how much we're supposed to give. So that's the purpose of those passages. And as far as our giving is concerned, that's to be something that we give in response to God's work in our hearts by his Spirit. It's a grace motivation. That's why Paul calls it the grace of giving. That's what we're to participate in. And if we would encourage people in that way, to be involved in the grace of giving, allow the Spirit of God to do something in your heart, you're going to see, I think, more generosity flowing from that, because God wants you to be a giver. I mean, He's a giver. And part of learning to give is maturing in Christ Jesus. But let's do it based on the Spirit's work inside of us rather than forcing some laws and obligations on people that are just going to make them not want to give at all.
Right, and I was just saying, you were saying that, and what happens, it seems to me the people that are teaching this aren't trusting God, and they're not trusting the congregations to do what the Word of God would help them to do. And so I think it kind of gets into hypocrisy when you're trying to teach that, and you're supposed to be teaching the Word of God, but you don't teach all of the Word of God, because you fear that if you don't teach that, then the people won't give, rather than trusting that God, that He will take care of your needs.
Yeah, that's
putting the image on the people too that they don't need to have.
That's exactly right. See, the law is human effort. It's fear motivated. Grace leads you into faith, that avenue of trust. So if you're not sure about the New Covenant, you're not sure what that really means, then all you're left with is kind of an Old Testament paradigm, and that just isn't gonna fly.
Okay. Thank you again. Y'all have a blessed day. Appreciate the information.
Hey, thanks, Andrew. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to New York, New York, and talk to V, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, V.
Oh, I just wanted to praise the Lord for you guys. You're doing such a beautiful job, and I thank God for your ministry. I have something very heavy. I've been engaged for 6 years now, and I'm a year-old believer, but we were living or are living together, and I'll be joining a new church as a member, of a real member, and I'm concerned. I'm carrying this shame that we're living together. He is a believer, but he's obviously in disobedience, and I know he loves the Lord, but he's very discouraged, and a lot of things have happened in his life and are happening in his life, and he's just disobedient to the Lord. I've financially not been able to move out since we're not married, and I don't know where the Lord really wants me. I packed my things, but still, I'm not sure where the Lord wants me, but the most powerful thing I can say is at least I'm witnessing to people, but I feel like I'm killing my testimony, you know, when people find out that, oh, you're living with your fiance, even though we're not intimate, I still carry that shame.
Well, V, obviously that's a concern of yours, and we can certainly hear it in your words. There's a couple of things, you know, red flags that come out, you know, in your conversation. You've been engaged to this guy for 6 years. That's a long engagement. Why haven't you gotten married?
I don't know. And I know it was my fear of commitment, and I really don't know. I know we love each other very much.
Yeah. Well, V, here's what I would suggest to you. If you're feeling guilt and there's this weight of this situation that's on your shoulders, I think the best thing for you is to say to your fiance, you know, both of us have come to Christ. I've just come to Christ in the last year. I'm not feeling really good about our living situation. Let's either go ahead and get married quickly, or let's move out. One of us move out and allow God to put the timing of this marriage in His perspective and go from there. I think if he's kind of straddling the fence as far as his faith is concerned, I think you taking a stand will help him get off one way or the other. And in doing so, you can see what his real heart is in this situation. So take the stand, let him know what you're feeling, what you're sensing, and that some action needs to take place. Either we need to go ahead and get married, or we need to move out from one from another and trust the Lord with this situation. I've seen that happen. We have a good friend that he was involved with a lady, and he came to Christ, and they had been living together, and he decided that he was going to move out. He moved out. That forced her to take a real serious look at this faith that he had been talking about, and she eventually came to Christ, and after she did, they got married. So some positive things can happen there, V, and I just encourage you to go with what you believe the Spirit of God is placing in your heart. I know you're feeling some guilt and shame for living in that situation. So take a step, take a stand, and trust the Lord with it.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate your ministry for what all you're doing. It really... it's such a blessing to hear you on the radio, and hopefully that others will reach out to you as well. It's been so many months I've wanted to reach out to you, and I just needed exactly that word, and I appreciate it, and I'm very encouraged and very motivated, and I will take a leap of faith, yes.
Well, good for you, V, and keep us posted on that. And also, I would love to put you on hold and send you a copy of the New Covenant Journey. It's a wonderful Bible study guide. And since you're new in Christ, I think this will really help you get grounded in the Lord even more so. So let me put you on hold and get a copy of this to you, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, B. You hold the line, all right?
Yes, this and many other resources are available from our online store at store.basicgospel.net. Hope you go there, poke around, see if there's something that catches your interest. I know that there are a lot of materials that will aid your spiritual growth. So go there, store.basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Young in Flushing, New York, listening to us on WMCA as well. Hi, Young.
Hi.
Welcome, my friend.
Hi, thank you for talking. Yeah, thank you for talking with me before. I don't know if you remember.
I do remember you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. So today I got a question. My question is about salvation through Jesus and personal faith. Please correct me my understanding about the salvation through Jesus. So I don't doubt salvation through Jesus is absolutely truth. And actually, I got an illustration about my understanding. People are in the middle of the ocean, and they are swimming not to be drowned, but eventually they're going to be drowned. And a rope was sent by God to save people. And right now, my salvation is not up to the rope. It's up to how I grab the rope tightly. How strong I have to hold the rope is, I have to hold the rope very strong enough to hold my weight on the rope. So just like this way, my salvation is about my personal faith, just like the how I strongly grab the rope. So sometimes I'm wondering if I have that kind of a strong personal faith in Jesus, because the gospel itself is not gonna save everybody. Personal faith in the gospel will save me.
Well, Young, I like your analogy there. It's the rope that's gonna pull you out of the ocean, and you have to be connected to that rope. And the way the Word of God talks about salvation, it talks about it in terms of grace and faith. So it's by grace through faith. So God initiates this salvation. He's the one who sent Jesus. So Jesus in the illustration is the rope, so to speak. And your faith is in response to Jesus' offer of salvation. So Jesus offers you new life, and your heart responds in faith, and you grab hold of Jesus. That is a response, an act of faith on your part. And so by grace, through faith, and when those two are coupled, salvation occurs. You're rescued. You are delivered. You are saved. And that's good news, isn't it? So it's a by grace through faith balance there. God offers salvation. That salvation is available to anyone. So grace is there, but not all respond in faith. And those who respond in faith are the ones who really know they have a need, the ones who really know that they're in trouble as far as their own souls are concerned. And when you've been humbled, when you come to that point and you realize that you have nothing to offer, that you can only receive what God has to offer for you in Christ, that's when salvation can occur. That's when faith can occur in your heart. And it sounds like that's what's happened, Young. Is that true?
Right. So if my personal faith become weak, I would lose the rope gradually.
No, you won't lose the rope. No. That's when Jesus. That's where the illustration breaks down a little bit. That's when Jesus just tightens his grip on you. See, Jesus isn't going to let you go. If you're saved and Jesus has grabbed hold of you, he's grabbed hold of you forever. He's never going to let you go.
And so Jesus is grabbing me.
Right.
So the rope is grabbing me.
Yes.
Even though I don't hold it tight, Jesus is holding on me, and then
I
won't let go.
That's exactly right. And he will never let go of you.
So what about the personal faith? How is it going to work? Like right now, because we're going to be saved by faith.
Well, here's a couple of things, Young, that you will see happening as far as your personal faith is concerned. And God, or Jesus, is the author and perfecter. So he's the one that introduces faith into your life, and he's the one that matures that faith. So what you're going to see happening, what Jesus wants for you right now, is for you to have a sense of security and rest, that you know that you really belong to God, that you are one of his children. So that's the first stage of faith, I think, as far as a believer is concerned. And then the next stage is victory, what I call victory. And this is where you learn to use the Word of God, to rely upon the Word of God in such a way that you have victory over the ways of this world that had entrapped you before. And then your faith matures even more into a purpose, that you know that God has saved you for a purpose that is to be carried out here and now. So you're going to see God working in your life in that way, and that becomes your personal faith. But that faith is always in response to Jesus. Faith is nothing, is useless, is futile, is without substance apart from Jesus. So the object of your faith is always Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Yeah. And so your role is to simply keep your eyes on Jesus and let him grow your faith in his way and his timing. Okay, Young?
Okay.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much for your call.
Yes.
You call us back, okay? Let's go to Stephanie listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you today?
Good. I've really been blessed by what I've been hearing today. This is my first time calling, actually my first time listening, and I'm sure it's Holy Spirit because I've been walking in my faith a long time. Consider myself to be, maturing in my faith. But recently I've just, my spirit has been really challenged by some teaching that I've been exposed to because of my new workplace. And it's just been presenting basically reform doctrine and Calvinism. I heard what you had just been sharing with Young, and it kind of is along the same lines of as far as who initiates faith. The faith aspect of salvation, when I understand that Jesus presents, but the teachings I've been exposed to recently have said that we don't actually make that choice, that only the move of God's Spirit forces us basically to choose salvation, and that those that God doesn't choose to work that in, basically along the lines
right,
of predestination.
Right. Well,
I've just been wrestling with that. If you can share some light on it.
Well, here's what I'll do, Stephanie. We're about out of time on today's broadcast.
Oh,
let me put you on hold. We'll talk to you a little more after the program, and we'll send you some resources,
sure.
Okay? You hang on, Stephanie.
Okay,
great
so
question.
And thanks to everybody who called to be a part of this edition. It's great to hear from you, everybody. And friends, if you didn't take advantage of the opportunity to call and pose your question today, we hope you'll do so early in the broadcast tomorrow. We'd just love to hear from you. In the meantime, we invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and click subscribe to join our email list. Sign up today to receive the links to the daily radio broadcast, blog posts by Bob Christopher, and other ministry updates. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And if you like what you hear each day on this broadcast, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at basicgospelrdo. Now, thanks for joining us. For Richard Piper, for Bob Christopher, and myself, Bob Davis, we'll be back again tomorrow for another edition. Hope you'll join us then. Have a great evening in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.